Survivor Greenland will not be aired at this time, so that we may bring you news that's priceless.
Usually I don't open the show here. My name is Jason Block. I'm your producer, your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy with of course, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. But we have to acknowledge the devastating wildfires in Los Angeles and Pacific Palisades. And we know a lot of people directly affected by these fires, and we send out all the love in the world to them. Gordon?
Our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody, not just in Los Angeles, but are affected by the events in Los Angeles because, you know, families and friends and people like us are just as affected on the East Coast as they are on the West Coast. So the least that we can do is give you an hour to an hour and a half to 2 hours worth of mindless entertainment where you can shut your brain off and relax and have fun and laugh and think and flush toilets because we're going to be doing that and being on islands and talking Jeopardy and talking Celebrity Jeopardy. So for those out there that really only have the internet right now to keep them company, we just want to keep you company as well. From somewhere in America, this episode of WLTI is on.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Whee! Whee! Welcome to the first official episode of 2025 here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block. I'm your strength, as I said, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy. And, of course, I'm here with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Legitimately, Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
And, but we need to start with an anniversary. Hit the cue.
Yes, it was 50 years ago this week that NBC decided to take a chance on a new format developed by Merv Griffin as sort of a consolation prize for having to end Jeopardy on the network. Lynn Bowen decided we'll pick up a new format. That format blended a carnival wheel with shopping, with hangman, with Chuck Woolery. That format became Wheel of Fortune. It's doing okay nowadays.
And this week, Wheel of Fortune syndication is doing an excellent job by celebrating their anniversary. One day they had significant events. One week they had, 50th birthday. Other people, and they had little notes like, now the set decorations have been excellent. We had the ceramic Dalmatian. We had the $1 million wedge, the prize card, and an increased bonus round. And they are giving away $50,000 at the end of the season. When you enter Fan Fridays, you also get an entry into a sweepstakes worth $50,000. I think that could have been a little bit more, but hey, what you gonna do? You know, just me.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Yes.
Well, everything's fine. Just keep in mind, and I know sometimes you guys go into the land of fanboy, but last time I checked, there's this little thing called a budget that as a producer you get, and you need to make sure you don't go over the budget because this is not The Price is Right, but you do get penalized if you go over. So, $50,000 is a lot, but it's not something that you usually do, and keep in mind the bonus rounds are a little bit on the expensive side now.
Well, at least for this week.
Yeah. It's okay. One thing that they're doing this week, at least, the minimum bonus round win is $50,000. I can tell you, nobody has.
Well, that's fine. You do have cars that are worth less than that, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah.
But again, that stuff, social media feed. Is doing, like Maggie Sajak is doing, facts about the wheel, facts about the screen. There was a very funny social media bit on Instagram this week where Ryan Seacrest was walking through the studio and thanking, you know, thanking the crew, thanking the makeup people, thanking the contestant coordinators, thanking Pat Sajak, you know.
As one does, you know.
You know, because he was just sitting there, like, eating catering, if I remember correctly.
He was eating a sandwich from Kraft Services, as one does.
As one does, you said. Well, you know, he doesn't have much, well, and when it was shot, he didn't have much to do. I'm not going to make fun with the situation going on right now. So, but good stuff. Good stuff. And I hope they do more this coming year. And I think they will. Remember, there's still sweeps month and all that. So, what do you guys think?
Absolutely. I thought it was good for what it was. You know, and again, you remember the theme and the branding of Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune has never been this over-the-top, serious, who wants to be a millionaire sort of show. It's people spinning a wheel, having fun, being silly. And even with $1 million that they're giving away, yes, there's some seriousness to it, but it never goes over the top. What they have is fine. I'm good with it.
I'm also good with it. It's like the three of us have grown up watching Wheel of Fortune, and it just speaks to the heart of what it is that it lasted for 50 years, both on network and in syndication. And frankly, not many people who watch the syndicated version of Wheel of Fortune, they think that Wheel of Fortune began in 1984. That's how syndication began. Wheel of Fortune began in 1975 on NBC, on network, and it sort of strikes me as grateful that Bellamy Blackstone and company over at Sony are recognizing that history for people who may not be aware of that history.
By the way, with a completely different theme, a completely different host, a completely different hostess
down the road,
you know,
maybe.
Banner White was not there day one. So,
no, it was Chuck Woolery and Susan Stafford and Jack Clark. Now
yes,
it's
the always charming Susan Stafford.
What?
The always charming Susan Stafford.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes. But right now, we need to move across the lot with this guy.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
And we have a winner of the first week of Second Chance. It was Will Yancey versus Colleen Matthews versus Caitlin Tarr going for the shot moving into the champion's wild card. Yes? Yes.
Correct. And the first game ended with Will at 20,000, Colleen at 8,400, and Caitlin at $1. You have to remember this is a two-day total point affair. Do you want to know how they got to that total, or do you just want to go into Friday's game?
Go to Friday's game.
Let's go to Friday's game. Going into the final, Colleen has 12,600 and Caitlin has 16,000. They both did what they had to do. Will, at 7,600, all of a sudden, it's very close. The final Jeopardy category is 19th century fiction. The clue. In chapter 9 of an 1851 work, a preacher in a New England port city delivers a sermon about this Old Testament prophet.
Now, I knew the book and I knew the character, but I was where Caitlin was because, no, I'm sorry, I thought it was Ishmael, but the correct answer is, what is Jonah about the whale? Duh.
Yeah. Herman Melville knew a thing or two about whales. Gordon?
Yeah, well, that's not what I went with. I was thinking, you know, it's not just the Old Testament, the Old Block Testament. And I figured I was wanted to get Jason's brother involved, so I've said who was Methuselah.
But here's what happened. Will gets it right, and now the thing is, here's the interesting thing. Colleen bet 12. She only bet. Oh, she bet 12,000. So she, even if she bet,
she doubled. She almost doubled up. But if she were to have doubled up, it still wouldn't have been enough. She'd still be a couple thousand short.
So Will Yancey is in the
Champions Wild Card,
and we are starting with week two. Drew Goins, Steve Miller, John Full, Garrett Reynolds are in the first quarterfinal. Drew almost locks it away with 33-4 to Steve's 18-4 in the category 21st Century Business. The clue.
Jason's laughing because I know what it is.
Well, we all know what it is. An early version of this app called Match was called Matchbox, but that was too similar to another company that offered the same service.
What is Tinder?
Wipe right, baby. You're correct. Because the reason being, it was too close to the dating app Match.com. Gordon.
I have a feeling I know where this is going. Maybe I know.
I want to say what I really want to say. I'm not going to say it.
Shall we move on?
Let's just move on and just say that. But everyone got it right. Drew bet correctly, and 36-801. He moves on to
Thursday Friday finals tomorrow and Friday. On Tuesday we have Josh Height, by the way, President Site for the Pirates. Zoe Gropman and Enzo Cannon going into the final. Josh has 9,600, Zoe has 6,600, and Enzo has 15,600 with the category Facts About Countries. Your clue. It has 40,000 people and a workforce of 4,200, more than half commuting from nearby, including Vorarlberg State, in a neighbor country.
I was totally off. I thought it was, you know, South Africa because of the state. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But I was so wrong, so you can give the correct answer on this one.
Gordon, the correct
me,
response.
Me. Oh, no, I'm going for the low-hanging fruit. What is Greenland?
Wow, okay.
But, no, that is wrong. It is... Vorarlberg is in Western Austria. Zoe had it right with Liechtenstein, but so did Enzo. Enzo moves on.
Mm-hmm. And so Enzo's, but tonight's game, literally, we have, come on, Lindsay Denninger, Ferdinand Percentile, and Sam Cameron. And by the way, I loved the category. No, Ryan, I would not like to buy a vowel. Okay. And so we have Sam at 19-4, Ferdinand 10-2, 6,200 for Lindsay on this clue. American history, and I knew this one.
Yep.
The last claim awarded under this act was 1988, 126 years after it passed, for a parcel of land in Alaska. You want it?
What is the Homestead Drive? I mean, the Homestead Act. Because I live right across the street from Homestead Drive. Anyway, it is the Homestead Act.
That is correct. By the way, that is, I believe, the one that started all the westward movement. But,
yes.
Gordon, what do you got?
I said, what is, you know what? We need an anchorage.
That's good. I like that one. Stan got it right. He moves on, so it is going to be, we are going to have our two-day total point affair, and then on Monday, we start the champions wild card run.
Yes, and that'll be a classic two-week tournament, the champions wild card.
And then is TOC and then the Jeopardy Invitational, is that right?
No, it's TOC and then I want to say Laura returns.
We'll find out.
We shall indeed find out.
But I'm going to go back to our good friend Mr. Colin Jost for three rounds of Final Jeopardy.
He wasn't either of your good friend last episode, sirs.
No, excuse me. Good friend in quotes, okay? So, we have another Scorcher, Greer, Sarah, and Brad, the Sears siblings, Hannah, Delaney, and Aiden, and 40 years late for detention, Ronnie, Jenny, and Dwayne. Okay?
Okay.
So, here's the interesting thing. The Sears siblings feature, and thank you to our good friend on the JeopardyFan.com, that's Andy Saunders, right, I believe?
Andy Saunders, yes.
Okay. So in this game, the Sears siblings featured Connor Sears, who won two games in 2023, what featured another Scorcher, and Greer and Sarah met at the 2012 College Championship, where Greer won. Okay.
Not only did they meet, they got married.
Right. Okay.
Aww.
So, in the final Jeopardy round, we go to another Scorcher, 21-6. Sears siblings, 13-8, and 40 years late for detention. They're late for 800 points. Now, here is the clue in the movie's soundtrack. The soundtrack of this 2010 movie includes We Built Our Own World and Dream Within a Dream. When the answer came up, I was like, oh, yeah, because I thought of something else, really.
No, I love my soundtrack, so I definitely knew that this was Inception.
And then everybody got it right, and another Scorcher bet correctly, and they move on to the next round. You got game 17?
But just for shiggles, I had What Is St. Elsewhere, the movie.
Oh, very good!
I see what you did there. Very well done. Let's go to the next round, which features Letter Rip of Andrew, Sue, and Matt. Letter Crip, Andrew, Sue, and Max. Lena's Legends, LJ, Kristen, and Scott. And Otrivia Rodrigo with John, Erica, and Maxwell.
Now, I believe this game, there was a Scarlett Johansson clue. I think it was either in this game or the next game.
I believe you are correct, but that's neither here nor there. We go into the final with what are the scores going into the final? Because I've got the clue.
Okay. Otrivia Rodrigo has 14-4. Lena Legends has 7-6. And Letter Crip has 7-6.
The Final Jeopardy category is Hollywood Families. The clue. The mother of this actress-producer was nominated for 4 Emmys from 1969 to 1972. Her father won 28 Grammys. I know this one, and
she's a badass. I know her too. Go for it.
Who is Rashida Jones? Frankly, now, I didn't know Peggy Lipton was a producer, but yeah.
Okay, well, I forgot who the mother was. Now, I have a question, though. Nora Jones is not related to Quincy Jones, that way, is she?
No.
Didn't think so. So, Otrivia Rodrigo, Letter Crip, tried to go for it. She said Nora Jones, but Otrivia Rodrigo, again, said correctly, and they advanced. So, the final game in Pop Culture Jeopardy is, pulling out here, In Our Jeopardy Era versus Together, we're Kim, T-A-I-M, Travis Bean, and Matt, and Team Shenanigans. Okay?
Going into the final, in our Jeopardy era is at 18-8. Together, we're Tim is at 12-8, and Team Shenanigans is at 5,600.
And I freaking knew this one! This is the rat race! The clue!
This one! I know this one!
The recipient of four 2018 Golden Raspberry Awards, this movie had Patrick Stewart voice a character named Poop. Yeah, exactly. The actual name of this is The Emoji Movie.
Yep.
And I and believe it or not, everybody got it right.
I am shocked. This is and in, my...
And in our Jeopardy and in our Jeopardy era, won again by doing that. So it was a good three games this week.
Good three games.
Did you want my answer?
Yes, yeah. Please.
What is Wheel of Fortune and Ryan Seacrest buys a bowel movement?
I like that. Well, I like that too. But we need to actually, we have a sixth game to talk about this week as Celebrity Jeopardy debuted.
Yes, okay. We did. Okay, so our first three celebrities are W. Kamau Bell, comedian, author, and filmmaker known for United Shades of America, playing for Donors to Choose. Camilla Luddington, from Grey's Anatomy, playing for I Stand With My Pack. And Max Greenfield from The Neighborhood, playing for Wags and Walks. Going into the final, we have a score of Max has actually gotten some tips from Ike Barinholtz, and it doesn't help much because he has 7,700 to Camilla's 1,400. Kamau, on a late game Final Jeopardy, won an extra, a late game Daily Double, I should say, won an extra $5, giving him 13,205.
Five.
Final Jeopardy category is Hawaii. The clue. Introduced in 1881 to grow ornamental trees, these seeds became one of Hawaii's most valuable crops.
Oh, oh, oh! Me! I can't eat them, but I know of them.
Go ahead.
What are macadamia nuts?
Jordan?
What is smoked palm trees?
You're closer to Camille's guess there, G, but Jason is right. It is macadamia nuts. Which is odd because I thought it was coffee, but...
Coffee beans? No, and what Ken said was they found out that when they planted the trees, the nuts were actually, well, better. You know?
Yeah.
And W. Kamau Bell moves on.
The other two players will receive $30,000 in their name to their charities.
And that ends our Jeopardy recap. But now we need to move, and I did not see this yet, to the Island of the Banker, Season 2.
Yeah. And perhaps what Joe Manganiello is calling the worst game of Deal or No Deal Island ever played. Small field, but...
Yay! No.
All right, so, just as a reminder of who we have playing, we have Sydney Peck from Redondo Beach, Luke Olenichak from Eagle River, Wisconsin, Parvati Shallow from Los Angeles, Will Kirby also from Los Angeles, David Janot from Perth, Australia. Seychelle Cordero from Staten Island. Dixon Wong from Wood River, Illinois. Alexis Leet from Louisville, Kentucky. Philip Solomon from Austin, Texas. Maria Grace M.G. Cook from Greer, South Carolina. Storm Wilson from Austin. Courtney C.K. Kim from Charlotte, North Carolina. Rock Carlson from Henderson, Nevada. LaShelle Wooten, Tar Heel in the house, and and I already mentioned Sidney Peck. Okay, so let's talk about the first excursion. It is called Pyramid Scheme. You want to get to the side. Okay, you want to get to the side.
I'm sorry, wrong one.
Okay, so you want to get onto the side of with the higher cases. The top case had $1 million in it. You have to go through a rock path. Another side had medium cases. You wanted to get there, you need to go through a jungle path. And the last side had three red cases, one with the lowest value, one with the steal, and one with the swap. To get there, you had to hook yourself up to a flying fox. Player who had the highest case would have safety and power. The order taken...
Always good things.
Yes. The order taken for each side determines the teams. Only the team with the lowest combined value would be up for elimination. So, on your high side, we have Parvati, Philip, Leet, and Sydney. Medium side, LaShelle, Storm, Rock, Maria, Grace, CK, and Dixon. And the red side, Luke, Seychelle, and David. Will is not in this episode. He will appear in episode 2.
Why is he not in the first episode? Do we know why?
No, we don't know why. Could be.
Okay.
I guess we'll find out next week. But for our high team, we have 2.55 million. For our middle team, we have 1.15 million. And for our low team, we have 1.025 million. So the high team is safe, obviously, and Sydney with the $1 million case has safety and power. She gets to nominate who's going up against the banker in our round of Deal or No Deal. She nominates Luke. So
Luke. Who is Luke again?
Luke is the guy from Wisconsin.
Oh, so he's just a normal dude.
He's just this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he ziplines.
He's
down.
A civilian, which is very rare to see in game shows nowadays.
Now, here's the thing about Luke. He ziplines down in the excursion before waiting to see what high-value cases were selected. He then used his steal to take Rock's $450,000 case, even though all the high-value cases were guaranteed to be higher. And then... During his round of Deal or No Deal, he turns down a $218,000 offer from the banker, even though he had great odds for winning that deal.
So what cases, wait, Chico, what cases were there for the offer? Because then we play numbers.
Yes, we do. Okay, so the cases available, penny, a dollar, $100, $250, $500, $1,000, $350,000, $450,000, $500,000, $600,000, $750,000, and $1 million. He's already knocked off the penny, which means the least he could have is a dollar. By this point, he's knocked off $1,750,000,
$500,000. So $450,000 and $350,000.
Yeah, so $600,000 still on the board, $1 still on the board. We have a dollar, $500, $450, and $600.
No, the $450 was out in the first round.
Okay, all right, my mistake. So the $600,000 case is still there. So is the dollar.
My question, Chico, is how many cases are higher and how many cases are lower than the offer? Because, again, this is not about having money. This is about did you make a good deal and playing the odds in your favor.
So there's at least two cases that are bigger than his offer.
And how many cases of Lilith did it suffer?
What? One case lower than his offer, two cases bigger than his offer. He has a good chance to get a good amount of money. I mean, would you call that an acceptable risk?
No.
No. We come by, you're saying you have two cases higher and one case lower, so the answer is absolutely no deal.
Well, he said no deal, and the next case he opens up, $600,000. The final offer is, and this is the banker being kind, $300.
But it doesn't, Chico, I don't think you're understanding this point of the game. It doesn't matter about being kind or not being kind. Whether or not you stay in the game or not is dependent on whether or not you make a good deal.
Yes. So with 450...
And he didn't because he had a dollar.
He had a dollar.
Well, but in that case, so you have to take the deal at that point because you have 50-50.
Yeah. Now, in an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Joe Manganiello said, "We break records this season, some good, some not so good, but most importantly, we discovered that even the worst game of Deal or No Deal Island ever is still super entertaining." But, yeah.
I don't think it's the worst game of Deal or No Deal Island. I don't think that people are understanding the concept. Yes, part of this is to try to get as much money as you can in order to win. But again, whether or not you stay or don't stay is not dependent on if you have a dollar or $500 or $450,000. Whether or not you stay or don't stay is only dependent on whether or not you make a good deal.
Yeah, and Luke will go down in history. This is Joe talking. Just not for the reasons I'm sure he'd hoped.
Meh.
Okay. But you know what? If it works, if Deal or No Deal works out, maybe they'll have like an All-Stars or a redemption season.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't. Moving on to... The Price is Right tonight. Okay. As we have Jackpot January 2025. And we start with Steven, who wins a photo booth and plays it in the bag for $160,000. Basically, they up the number by phone. Okay. So, he gets to $40,000 and stops. However, he would have won everything because he had everything right.
Then we have Doreen, who wins a electric guitar and accessories and a Ford Escape worth $32,085. Round three,
nice.
Jay?
Yes. So, So, I loved this twist. So, Kyle is playing cliffhangers for a trip to Panama worth of $12,422. However, if he can get the Yodely guy between 15 and 19, he gets a $10,000 bonus. Between 20 and 24, 25, and on the exact 25, he gets $100,000. Now, Gordon, do you remember a version of the Price is Right slot machine with that exact bonus?
I do, actually, yes.
So, however, Kyle was so good, he only missed everything by 7. So, meh, didn't help.
But that's the correct way to play cliffhangers. You play to win the game. You don't play to be stupid and try to bag out. I mean, if you're going to do that, you do what you need to do. You get the first two as close as you can, and then you try to figure out, okay, if this is whatever, what sort of number can I give that I know I'll still probably win, but yet make it a little bit more interesting? You know, there's two ways to play it, but, you know, if you get the first two and you nail it, maybe that third one is a little bit trickier than you think. So I thought he played it correctly.
So Steven wins $100,000, $1,000 on the, not $100,000, on the showcase.
He was $11,000.
Right. So, yes. So he's got $51,000 so far. Okay. So anyway.
Next up, Kate takes a chance at a...
every
room in the house, one wrong price with a home gym, a game room, and a home spa. The one wrong price is, okay, the gym is worth $10,195, the game room is worth $12,015, possibly, and the spa is worth $8,474, plausibly.
Possibly.
The one wrong price. She goes with the spa. It is $11,280. She wins everything. Yay.
Hold on. Then we have Nathaniel, who's going to Nashville because he's going. It's 9805.
And
finally
Bruce.
Hey, this was painful. This was painful.
Is playing for a Lexus TK500 HF Sport Performance Premium in pocket change. Right now the $72,350 car is worth a dollar. She has a quarter. She has another quarter. She has a dime. She has another quarter. And she gets
on the last card. If she would have done it within one more, she would have had it. And she would have had this is a beautiful, I believe that is the luxury version of the Grand Highlander. The showcase, Stephen passes to Nathaniel a trip to Italy, which is worth a pretty penny, copper cookware, and a Volkswagen Jetta. He bids $45,000. Nathaniel goes green with $3,000 in cash, a new backyard, and a very green Ioniq 6 FEL long-range electric car. He bids $51,000. Let's go to Stephen first, who bids $51,000. The actual retail price, $52,867, a difference of $1,867, which means one of two things. It could be either really good or really bad. Nathaniel bids $45,000. His price is $45,390. He wins with what a classic ending. He wins $57,010, including his trip to Nashville, the designer accessories, and all that good stuff in the showcase. It was a good night. It was a good show.
Good night. $200,000. Out the door of Haven Studios tonight, so awesome stuff. And Jackpot January will continue into next week, but right now we have to go into the
workroom. So we have 14. Now, Gordon, the Squirrel Games opening was insanely good before we got to the show.
You know, the whole irony is that you now have four or five different entities that have done a much better version of Squid Games than Netflix's Squid Games. and Netflix had a much bigger budget than any of them. But yeah, Squirrel Games was much more fun than what it deserved to have. The cameos were great. Little Miss Poundcake gets my early nominee for Best Star Cameo in a show. Even the sixth man, or in this case, sixth doll.
Well, we will get to that when we get to the Best Awards of Everything 2025. But I totally agree with you.
So what happens is we get the 14 queens that are the survivors, which are Acacia Fagot, Arietti, Crystal Envy, Carmona Lisa, Jewel Sparkles, Joella, Corey King, Lana Jure, Lexi Love, Lucky Stars, Lydia B. Collins, Anya Nerve, Sam Starr, and Susie Toots. So, in episode one, okay. And by the way, when the blue light, green light was in the mini challenge of Squirrel Games, they had to strike poses, and Lana Jure won the mini challenge. So here's the interesting thing: Raider Queen is back. We have 2 weeks of Drag Queens Got Talent, okay. And what happens is that the bottom two will lip sync for your life this coming week, and they will be eliminated. And Raider Queen.
What's going to wind up happening is this: the lowest weighted queen in the first segment will go up against the lowest weighted queen in the second segment, which means there is strategy and chicanery involved if you happen to be the lowest weighted queen in the first segment, because you can try to figure out and sabotage and see who exactly you want to be lip-syncing against. And if you happen to be an alliance, you can schedule the whole alliance to go after and vote down the person that you want to see and get rid of, either because they're a threat or because they're not a threat.
Exactly. There were a lot of drag families, drag mothers, drag daughters in there, which, okay. So the first week, eventually, the queens decided who went on first. So you got Acacia Fagot, who played a guitar, Arietti doing a lip sync and a baile folklorico. Jewel Sparkles did a lip sync, La Leche. Joella did an original song. Lucky Stars did an original song. Lydia B. Collins did some sort of comedy burlesque. And Susie Link Toot did tap dancing. And then we did, the category on the runway was Masked for Masked Singer. Now, I will just say, Gordon, that the bottom two were, the one that was rated lowest, Acacia Fagot, deserved to be there. Terrible.
Agree completely, yes.
Absolutely terrible. I would also say that Lydia B. Collins should have been there, really. And I actually think...
But you can only have one.
Yeah, I know, but I'm...
You can't have two people occupying one spot in the bottom.
No, I understand, but I'm saying people that could have been nominated. I'm just saying that that could have. I'm saying Acacia Fagot was the right call, okay? I also think Joella was one of the worst to me. And the final two, by the way, Katy Perry was there as a judge. You had Jewel Sparkles and Susie Toot lip-syncing to Woman's World by Katy Perry, and Susie Toot won the challenge, and she won a cash tip of $5,000, and we'll get more drag queens next week. The guest judge, which is, by the way, the rapper Doechii, who, ironically enough, is on Katy Perry's single, I forget the name of it. It's the one with that la da dee da da da, that one.
I'm his, he's mine.
Crystal Waters.
I'm his, he's mine.
I'm his, he's mine. Yeah, I'm his, he's mine. Right. That sample was Crystal Waters, big time. And the ultimate judge is T.S. Madison. By the way, Carson Kressley was the judge. But we need to, I believe, end this segment on a sad note, a very, very sad note. Chico.
Yes. Well, we're still in the workroom here at WLTI. We have to pay a final respect to a much beloved queen the world over, and that would be the Vivienne. Viv died at the age of 32. They were the very first champion of RuPaul's Drag Race UK. This came out from Simon Jones, their manager on Instagram. These are words I never wanted to write. Viv was a close friend, a client, and someone I loved very much from the moment I met them in 2019. I knew we could create magic together, and I became their manager. Their talent was immense, and the light they brought to every room was astonishing. No one has ever made me laugh in my life as much as Viv did. Their comedic genius and quick wit was like no other. I'm so proud and lucky that Viv was such a big part of my life every day for the last 5 years. It's tragic that their career was only just beginning. In musical theater, Viv had found a space and career they loved, excelled, and thrived in. I am heartbroken and devastated at this news. RIP, my wonderful friend, you left us way too soon. And yes, they did leave us way too soon, but they left a mark. They left a mark on the franchise, an indelible mark, if you will.
And
yeah, and it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. It's a travesty. You can say everything that you can about this. What a great star. And again, not just on season one of UK, but on season seven, All Stars.
Yes. One of the reasons why the show was so good, really. The Vivienne could have won.
Oh, absolutely, without question.
And absolutely. Courtesy of Entertainment Weekly, and this is a listed statistic, this is the fifth drag race queen that has unfortunately passed away in the past 16 years. That includes Bandit in 2023, Sahara Davenport, Chichi Devane, and Cherry Valentine. So... this was stunning to me. Stunning to me. So many different ways. You know? Just sad.
Yeah. Can we have a moment of silence, please? Thank you.
No way to move on from that, but Act 2 will be our Brain Vision News, and we have our first Super Toilet of 2025. So, Chico, take us to break.
With Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6 days with 5-1. You're home for We Love Twitter Up. Do you give us 22 minutes?
I will give you 22 different Snatch Game impersonations of Donald Trump, because, boy, is that going to be hard to beat from the Vivienne.
That was one of the best ever. For real.
Indeed.
All tea, no collusion.
We'll be back right after this.
It's not just a donation.
It's a warm blanket.
It's a bottle of clean water.
It's a roof and a bed.
It's knowing someone cares.
It's feeling safe.
It's a today that's better than yesterday.
Every dollar you can spare helps so much more than you can imagine. Donate now to help people affected by the 2025 California wildfires. Your support is urgently needed.
We inspire! We inspire! We inspire!
Brain Vision News is presented by Little Pound Cakes Pound Cake. Whenever you're feeling snack hungry, Little Pound Cake has a snack for you. As he strikes a pose.
I think you need to add lady fingers with that.
Yes. Very good.
Thank you.
Gordon, not a lot of time, a lot of news. Let's go.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media, Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and Tracks Productions. And you can listen to Doug Morris as he does his thing from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock Tracks with Doug Morris every Sunday on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the dome.
Multiverse.
On rock104fm.com, Rock 104's app, and the Odyssey app.
This one is a little bit, this news is a little bit interesting.
Yes, business. Yes, business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
From Television City in Hollywood, $1 billion expansion. Yes, the Television City project has gotten the all clear to move forward. According to Deadline, the Los Angeles City Council voted unanimously on Tuesday to approve a $1 billion expansion of the home for so many game shows over the years. The final approval follows unanimous votes from the LA City Council Planning and Land Use Management Committee and LA City Planning Commission in late 2024. Television City project is expected to be completed prior to the 2028 Olympics. So, yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that's big. And Gordon, you said this was kind of going to happen eventually.
Yes, I did. And by the way, you're talking about California, right, Chico?
Yes.
Wait until we get Jersey. It won't shock me because, again, Netflix is doing something down there in central southish New Jersey. Don't be surprised if that turns into a game show mecca, believe it or not.
I wouldn't. By the way, on the Netflix New Jersey front, that's a mega studio that's coming up real soon. I think that's open in 2028. Netflix is getting, by the way, almost $400 million in tax breaks to build that.
So it's something like the Tyler Perry complex in Atlanta, then?
Yeah, Fort Monmouth County, and you know this, Gordon, Monmouth County, New Jersey. I know Monmouth County. It's supposed to be built at the Fort Monmouth military base. So that's good. This is also good, too.
You don't build something like that for just movies.
No, you don't. Thursday, as we record, this is the season finale of Fast Friends, LOL Quebec. The very long-awaited premiere of Hollywood Squares, which we will review next week.
By the way, they have the preview up on all of the socials. They remixed Meryl and Bob's theme, Silly Song. Mwah, chef's kiss.
Monday, we start the Jeopardy! Champions wild card. Tuesday is Singles Inferno. And then Wednesday is Love Island All-Stars and the Arcade Show season finale. But let's talk about Dead Apto.
Say you want to play Jeopardy! On your Fire Stick. Well, Volley's got you. You can use your Fire TV stick and play Jeopardy! Via the Volley app. It's the first gaming company to develop a voice-controlled game natively for Fire TV. It brings the iconic game show experience to the platform. Aspiring Jeopardy champions can get around started by searching for Volley on their compatible Fire TV sticks with their Alexa voice remote. Players respond to clues using their voice, rack up points across the board, wager on daily doubles, just like real contestants. Right now, it is only available for Fire TV sticks. It is not available for Fire TVs or other platforms, but they are working on it.
And again, that's smart.
Yeah, that is a really cool idea. I like that idea.
This is a really cool idea. Using the internet to speak ill of the dead, not a cool idea.
No. That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Now, what we're going to say is not what we think, feel. We are just reporting what has been said and posted on the internet because, as we know, Gordon, what is the internet? Forever. Always
exactly.
Forever. Okay. So Tyra says
we don't, and since we're using the drag thing, it's not always and forever, Alyssa Edwards.
Yes. Okay. So what happened was is that she responded to a 2020 tweet from the Vivienne, who read, quote, "Bet Tyra was fuming when she realized Netflix spoiled the win, too. Sorry, gal, you tried, though." To which Tyra replied, quote, "Yet it doesn't compare to the fumes of the crematorium." Good grief, okay? But then it gets even better. So Candy Muse responded to the tweet by saying, quote, okay, "I defended you for years, but now you can absolutely go bleep yourself. And if our path were ever to cross it, it's absolutely on sight, bitch. It's not a threat. It's a promise, you disgusting person." And while Tyra complied, said, "The Vivienne is dead, rotting, sending me all the hate in the world, won't bring her back, but you do as you must because of you. The tweet needed has reached over 25,000 individuals. Thanks so much for the much-needed attention that I so desperately needed." It actually went on, because then RuPaul posted a tribute, and then Tyra called RuPaul, quote-unquote, a puppet with fan horn. Gordon, I didn't get into Drag Race until later on. Is Tyra this mean all the time?
Yes. This is the same Tyra Sanchez that got herself booted out of a number of conventions because of her threatening other queens. She's actually on more than one occasion threatened to retire from drag, in which case almost everybody applauded her for doing that. So the answer is yes. She is this mean in real life, and yuck.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have another reaction. I'm not going to justify the reaction she had to Rue's slapping clip, but Gordon's spirit animal, Shea Coulee, posted, "Get her again for me, mama."
Yeah, exactly.
And season one sister, Crystal, said, "Mama's had enough nonsense."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, because what happens is that RuPaul posted the slap, exactly. And exactly. There were no suspicious circumstances, by the way, at the death either, just to let you know on that too. But
it was just sudden.
So let's talk about some double. I got a double dose of haterade for you with an NAWC crossover. Haterade! Can I give the crossover first?
Please do.
Okay. So, as you know, Raw had a spectacular debut on Netflix with a lot of pop, a lot of circumstance, and one Hulk Hogan, whose Real American Beer is now a partner with WWE, as he is now a minor owner. However, when he went out, and by the way, he looked very bad, he got booed out of the Intuit Dome for either one of two reasons. One, because of his potential, you know, because of his MAGA leaning politics. You did see him at the Republican
Absolutely. I'll say number one, it's absolutely not a factor because the majority of the people in the WWE are all Republican.
Right.
Including Linda McMahon, who is part of
Trump administration
and part of the cabinet. So no, politics did not play an issue on this.
Maybe
him being a racist on alleged leaks that he has had on more than one occasion may have had something to do with Pete Lewis.
Yeah, I think that's more the thing, because also The Undertaker, who is more of a Republican than Hogan is, actually had Trump on his podcast and no one gave a damn. Okay, for real. So yeah, it's just that that Hogan is an unrepentant racist, and by the way, Hogan looked really bad. So
he looked every bit of his 72 years,
soon to be 72.
Well, he looked every bit of it. Let me tell you.
Okay, so what's the main event here?
I see what you did there, by the way. The main events.
Uh-huh.
So Harold Dearly, the first ever Top Chef champion, opened a new restaurant, Il Totano, in Greenwich Village. Less than a year later, he closed it.
Grand opening, grand closing. Sadly.
Yep.
But again, the restaurant business is still recovering from COVID. It really is, right, Gordon? You know this. It's hard to open a restaurant these days.
Yeah, it's hard to open up, period. Not just that, and he even said it on the site, is the fact that people's aspects of food have changed. The budgets have changed. You know, an Applebee's restaurant that's sort of pricey and that sort of style is not going to fly right now. And unfortunately, that's the style this restaurant had.
I mean, yes.
So
I mean,
it's unfortunate because their reviews were good, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Reviews were indeed very good. But in fact, Eater New York critic called the restaurant's dry-aged fish a dish of the year. But the New Yorker wrote that the restaurant doesn't seem to know what kind of restaurant it's trying to be. So the restaurant was good, but it was just a bad time to open a restaurant in the middle of Greenwich Village.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
One of the better restaurant openings of the year last year was George Motz's Hamburger America, you know, here in New York as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends. We're still recovering, and I think it's going to take a couple more years before we fully get out of the COVID economic downturn.
Meanwhile,
keep in mind, we also have congestion pricing, and that does not help.
No, it does not. So yeah, but we need to go somewhere. Where are we sending the chefs and Hulk Hogan?
For a place that is known for their fish, Norway. Okay, so the new hotness in 2025 is expected to be The Box, a paper format that launched at MIPCOM in Cannes last October. It is launching on TV2 in Norway. It is also going to be launching in the Netherlands and Denmark The Danish version will launch later this year. No word on the Dutch version. Over 10 episodes, this is the format. The show sees 12 celebrity contestants placed in separate boxes. When the box opens, they immediately find themselves in the middle of a challenge and must work out what to do. Each ep ends with a pair of contestants engaging in a duel to stay in the game. The box is an entirely new and original reality format of high quality, said TV2's program director in Norway, Trygve Rudigan. Solitary on line one, I'd like to say.
To a degree, yep. So, yeah, but maybe we'll get some Norwegian media pros.
I got pros. In different area codes. Area codes. In different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we lost Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Richard Cohen, the husband of Meredith Vieira. Roy Wood has a new special app for Hulu coming soon. Kelsey Anderson and Joey Grazia have a very flexible save the date. 2026, 2027, who knows? Jen Tran is still very coy about Sasha Farber and hers relationship status. Jordan Wisely finally reveals the truth about his hand. He did not get it mangled by a crocodile. He was born that way. Dana White is joining the board of Meta, the mother company of Facebook. And Kevin O'Leary is making a bid to buy TikTok. And apparently, he's serious.
I will also add many celebrities and, of course, The Rock appeared on the Raw Netflix and NXT premieres on Monday and Tuesday.
Darian Holt and Jadeja Edwards, speaking of Netflix, is going from The Circle to The Altar. Derek Frazier from Big Brother dropped 70 pounds since his days in the house. And of course, Whitney Cummings, true to her brand, makes a not-safe-for-life joke on CNN's New Year's roast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and also Nikki Glaser, who hosted the Golden Globes this week, reveals the even dirtier joke she would have told.
Whoa!
I can't even say that.
That's how dirty it is. We can't even say it. But none of them is your pro of the week, and this one was decided quite late last week. It's Heidi Klum. Now, why are we bringing up Heidi Klum and America's Got Talent does not have a spinoff this winter?
Because she's coming back home to Project Runway. The Freeform, I believe it's Freeform now, right? I think it is.
Yes.
She's hosting, yes?
Yes.
Or she's judging?
She's hosting.
I thought what's his face was hosting?
Well, apparently, Heidi Klum is returning as host, but
one day you're in, the next day you're out, and the third day she's back in.
Oh yeah, she is hosting. Yep, she's hosting, and is Christian Siriano is going to be the mentor? Oh, we don't know who the mentor is going to be. Interesting. Okay.
Very interesting.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I am shutting down.
From the...
All right. We're dragging in the toilet. It is a brand new year. We've got brand new shows, and we are going to either put them on the sink or flush them down the hole right after this on We Love to Interrupt. Stick and stay. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by the Honey Badger Games. Forget the squid, forget the squirrel, even forget the pound cake. The Honey Badger can take you all on. And laugh about it later. Honey Badger Games, because the Honey Badger doesn't give a patootie about what you think.
No, they don't. But what we love to think about is the super toilet, and one of our favorite segments, because it's time, because as we're freezing our, you can bleep me here, as we're freezing our off, we are going to start thinking of warmer weather and spring and winter programming. Winter and spring programming. It's time for the 2025 version of Push or Lush. We have right now 11 shows to start off the year. We have 5 different areas. If we love it, we will push it. If we kind of like it, we pastry it. If we're in the middle, we piggle it. If we want to jiggle the handle, we do so. And if we really hate it, it's a flush. It's a 3 flushes. It's a clog. And let's start it off, Chico, with...
And next week, we figure out what a block zone is. Our first show... Small Town Setup on Hallmark Plus. It's a show that's tailor-made for its audience, I guess? I wouldn't know because I'm not in the audience.
I don't know.
You know what? Simply because it's so niche, I'm going to push it.
Did the Searching for Mr. Christmas do well?
It got another season.
Dad, yeah, push it.
I'm going to pastry it. I find it intriguing, but I'm not in love with it, but I'll watch.
Okay.
All right.
Next one. Show.
Love is Blind Germany on Netflix.
I've never been a fan of this series. I really have not. But I get its appeal, pastry.
I also have never been a fan of this series, but at the same time, I also get its appeal. So it is a pastry for me, too.
Nine. I like the plunger. I like the plunger. I hate the plunger. Flush, flush, flush.
Okay. Fine. All right. Okay.
Das Festhaus. RuPaul's Drag Race, season 17.
Can you give an incomplete grade, Gordon, or no? I have to say something.
Well, I mean, there's an episode there. I'm going to say something. I'll start it. I'm going to push it. You know, sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not. But one of the things I'm really liking so far, the cast. You got a whole bunch of shady queens. And I think it's going to make for some fun here. And the one thing it looks like they got right, at least for now, the personalities. I'll push
it too.
Make it a threesome, which means... Yeah. Probably should have programmed that.
Okay, the next one. Bill, please. Worst Cooks in America, Heroes versus Villains. Okay. This is actually the worst show, one of the top 10 worst shows on TV right now. It's fake, it's phony, it's full of moo-poo. Flush this.
I am also going to flush this.
I'm going to push this.
What?
I'm going to push it off the cliff. Flush.
Oh. Thank you. By the way, did you notice the crisp Alpine scent I put in?
Yes, I did. It reminds me of the Nestle commercial where everybody is walking in the snow eating white chocolate.
There you go.
Okay, next up, something a little better on Food Network, Kids Baking Championship, Amazing Animals. Basically, bringing more of the discovery element into the Food Network with kids love animals. What can I say? Kids love animals. Kids love baking. Baking kids love animals. It is a push.
I'm going to go pastry.
Okay.
I'm going to go pastry on this. Yes, it's cute and it's kids and stuff like that. But kids sometimes can be. I'm not the biggest kid game show fan thing when it comes to reality shows and kids.
Okay,
that's fair.
Next one is.
Wait, did you give your thing, Jay?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna pastry it as well. It's one of the better shows on TV. I'll give you that. How's that?
Awesome. Okay, next up. Deal or No Deal Island, Season 2. Remember when we first reviewed this show, we thought it was peanut butter and motor oil?
Not this year.
Only for it to become one of the more compelling hours of the year.
Yeah.
I like
it. I still think it's peanut butter and motor oil. It's they've done some things that have fixed it, and they've changed certain things. Which is fine. Maybe they've upgraded it now to peanut butter and sushi. And sometimes you can take the peanut butter and make a little hoisin sauce with that because that's really good in Thai cuisine.
I love hoisin sauce.
But there's still some issues with it. Pickle.
You know what? I'm going to give it a pastry. I think they've improved it. They've expanded and enhanced it. I want to see where they go from here.
I'm going to pastry it. I'm not going to push it just yet. It's good. It ain't great. Next one.
Wild Card Kitchen.
Well, no, you skip one.
Chopped.
There we go.
61. What?
There's a reason why it's been around all this time. Push.
I agree. It has been around a long time for a reason, and the reason is that they never stop improving. So, yes, it is a push.
I'll make it a trio.
Okay, next one.
Wild Card Kitchen, Season 2.
I just don't like this show. We need more Cutthroat Kitchen, not Wild Card Kitchen. Jiggle.
Eric Atropong is okay. The show is reinventing the wheel. I'm ready for something new from Food Network. I really am. It is a pickle.
I'm going to agree with Chico. Pickle is the right grade here. There props for originality on this, and this could be something. They do need to clean it up. Maybe they do this season. So I'll give it some hope, Pickle.
All right. Next one. The Price is Right at Night, Season 4.
Just play the damn fanfare, please.
Play the damn fanfare.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
By the way, I will just add on to this just a little bit. Their nighttime version is really good, and they really know what they're doing with it. So, yeah, it's that good. It's better than the daytime version, and the daytime version is spectacular.
Indeed. All right, next up. Special Forces, World's Toughest Test.
You know, this is a show I absolutely hated in season one. But the fact that it's here for season three and it still does well gives me hope. It's not the worst thing on TV, but I respect it, Pastry.
I'm going to...
I don't respect it as much as Jay does, Pickle.
I'm going to agree with Gordon. I see where Fox is definitely improving the format, but it's an improvement. There is still room for improvement, is what I'm trying to say. So, yeah. Pickle.
Okay. And finally,
Raid the Cage, Season 2.
Pandemic programming? Sorry, Pickle.
Well, we were waiting a long time for season 2. Was it worth the wait? Your mileage may vary, but yeah, it's the same game that didn't really do much to improve it. So, Pickle.
Yeah, we're going to the 3B here. There are things that they can do to fix this, but we're not going to know it until we see it, and we haven't seen it yet. So, I'm going to put it straight up the middle, Pickle.
Yeah, by the way, we will eventually see this, especially for the one person on the cast of this podcast who has Paramount Plus.
The two people
on this cast who have Paramount Plus.
I actually recorded it. Actually have it on DVR.
So. Oh. Ooh. You are very old school, my friend.
I am old school with the new school. And what I need to do is clean out the toilet from the flush and get ready for how many shows next week?
We've got 10, and as a preview, we have season 3 of Celebrity Jeopardy, a reboot, season 3 of The Traitors, a Korean show, and at least 4 versions of LOL.
There you go.
Just something to look forward to for next week.
Yes, and that's next week. So right now, we're going to hide the toilets. I'm going to wrap this week up right after this.
On a speed round, this is WLTR. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by, no, I didn't miss it, Kentucky Fried Tart.
Yes.
Yay.
As we congratulate them for not having the worst record in the NFL this season.
Nope.
And, by the way, there is a certain state college somewhere near you that we will be discussing in the later versions, or shall we say in the later seasons, of their fall and winter athletic schedule. That is Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Ramsey's done right.
We did actually do a comparison of all of the people who got fired on Monday as part of Black Monday on the BS. And I did bring up the fact that if your quarterback, your coach, your general manager are all on the same page and your owner sits down and shuts the hell up, good things happen. So, yes, I'll say it again. The Carolina Panthers are 1 or 2 years away from being 1 or 2 years away.
No, they're not. They're not.
And right now we're
going to start the speed round now. RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes, right. RuPaul's Drag Race. Does Acacia Forgot go home next week?
I don't think anybody's going home because we're still in week 2 of introductions, which means we're going to get the second half of the Drag Race queens who come in and play Drag Race Got Talent.
No, what happens is that on this thing, on Friday's show, you're going to have someone go home.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in case you forgot, I don't think they're in trouble, but I think the other person in the bottom is going to be.
We shall see. Deal or No Deal Island, Dr. Will is moving in. Who do you think is moving out? Or is it too early to say?
It's too early to say, right?
Yeah, a little too early.
Who's next week on Celebrity Jeopardy?
Next week on Celebrity Jeopardy, it is Melissa Peterman, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Jackie Toad, two game show hosts and a certified genius.
I give it to Melissa Peterman.
I'd give it to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I'm going to go with Melissa Peterman.
Okay. So, okay. In the 50 years this month, are we getting a millionaire yet?
No, but I imagine somebody's going to win $50,000 by the end of the week.
No, the $50,000 will not be won till the end of the season.
All right. Hollywood Squares. You think people are going to enjoy it?
I don't know. I have to see the execution. But the promo looks good.
Promo looks very
and
good.
And Nate Burleson looks good as the host. So let's see where they go with this.
Yep. And I can already tell Drew Barrymore is going to love the format. So, should be good stuff. We'll see when it airs tomorrow as we record this. But right now, okay, let's see if there's any mail for the new year. There is not. But if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. We are on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2.
Finally.
I am GSNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5N1Net. That's 5, number 5, ANDONENET. We talk about anything and everything network-wide. We alluded to it as much earlier in this segment, but the BS Big Show, we go over Black Monday, we go over the playoffs, and we go over the preview to the college football playoff semifinal, which is happening later this week.
And by the way, we are also monitoring the conditions out in Los Angeles because that may affect the wild card game on Monday, believe it or not.
Yes.
Because the rumor is that if it is not going to be at SoFi, it will be in Arizona at Glendale at the Cardinals Stadium. So
at State Farm,
be on the lookout.
State Farm Stadium.
Yes. So we will be monitoring that. Gordon, new year, same panel, right?
New year, same panel. Northern New Jersey takes its whack this weekend. And that is
okay.
UVA Today. Got it.
Yes. And Chico, before I do that, we need to talk about the NAWC, which, by the way, we got nothing to talk about this week. It's going to be a short show. Of course, we're going to be talking Netflix on Raw. We're going to talk about NXT and the future of wrestling. It's going to be awesome. Chico, it was a thing.
It was a thing. We just dropped the new episode after midnight. It is called Muscle, which is the only one of the inaugural WB4 shows that did not earn a second season. We have a continuing storyline featuring Alan Ruck, Jerry Levine, Michael Boatman, and an American gladiator. I know, weird, huh?
Indeed.
Weird.
Yeah, that's it. It was a thing on TV.com.
What's happening in the middle of January, sir?
In the middle of January, we have more Jeopardy, more Track Race, more Deal or No Deal Islands. We will review both Fast Friends and the Hollywood Squares, and somebody has a birthday. But we're not going to an island. We're going to do some more pushing and flushing.
Okay.
That is coming up next week, but for now, for Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours, and as we say goodbye, again, keep the people of Southern California in your thoughts and prayers, and if you can help, please do help. Till next we meet, my friends. Game over. And spread the love.
Interrupt this program.